And welcome to Small Biz Matters, People, Policy, Purpose, You're live in the studios of Triple H 100.1 FM here in Hornsby. Thank you so much for joining me this week. So small businesses are often, when it's convenient, referred to as the backbone of the economy. And nothing could be closer to the truth in regional, rural and remote communities. They literally are the fabric binding economic success, growth, jobs, training and the survival of many communities. It's not the big businesses running down the flooded or fire-ravaged high streets supporting communities immediately after a disaster, or when a call to action is heard to support a community or sporting group. It's the small businesses who are quick to lend a hand, offer equipment and resources, and even just a listening ear to their friends and family, which is their community. So what can be done to keep these small businesses front and centre of policy and planning? Is this a local, state or federal issue? And are councils doing enough and leading the way? Does the federal government in Canberra even know how important a regional high street is to that community? And how can the government do a better job of listening to the leaders? Today, Elizabeth Skirving, quite frankly, a bona fide thought leader in this space and CEO of the Rural Business Tasmania and director of COSBOA, joins us to share her thoughts on how government can improve their engagement and continue to support small businesses in the regional, rural and remote areas so they can continue to grow and support their own communities and the national economy. Welcome to Small Biz Matters, a show where we are dedicated to empowering small businesses and advisors to engage with policy and advocacy. Why? Because what government does very much matters to all small biz, good and bad. Sponsored by the Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman's Office, each week we sit down with experts, advocates, business leaders, policymakers and politicians to dive into specific areas of government policy that affects your clients and your business. We'll give you the heads up on what's coming down the policy pipeline, find out who's fighting in your corner, and empower you with ways you can influence those decisions which affect your business every single day. We proudly broadcast live on our local community radio station, Triple H 100.1 FM, the Community Broadcasting Network, and later wherever you get your favourite podcasts. Let's hear from this week's expert on Small Biz Matters. People, policy, purpose.
And welcome to the program once again. We're glad to be here in the Triple H studios. And I'm joined on Zoom by Elizabeth Skirving, the CEO of the Rural Business Tasmania. And I'm thrilled to have you on the program, Elizabeth. I know we've been talking about this for a few months and you are in an extremely busy period down there in Tasmania in the amongst of elections. There's droughts going on and you just told me on the chat that you're moving office as well. So you don't take things slightly. It's great to have you on the program and I'm looking forward to a really great discussion about the importance of regional, rural and remote businesses. Well, first of all, welcome.
Thanks, Alexi. It's great to have you. Be able to be here.
indeed. Now, first, I want to hear about a little bit about your background and why it is that you're so passionate about advocating for small businesses in these areas.
So I grew up in a small rural community, went to the local school, were farming, and, my family have always been part of the community. My grandfather was mayor of the small town, Cressy. So we've always wanted to support and, having grown up with a small business in farming, really understand what drives everybody when they have a small business and what those pressures are. I studied accounting and so understand the business side of it as well, and that's been probably my key focus to make sure that from a business point of view that a small business is really supported, that the policies around them are going to help rather than hinder, and calling out those that are, issues that we need to deal with.
So the regional, rural and remote businesses are, and I refer to them that way because that's sort of a new way of thinking, is that to think of them differently, to not just bundle them all into regional areas. Why is it so important, do you think, that government looks and treats small businesses and the way that their policies affect them differently from a business in a city in the middle of Bondi Junction, for instance?
There are, there are things that are the same. So, you're still serving the customers, you're still stocking the shelves, you're still employing staff. So that doesn't change whether you're in Hornsby or, Timbuktu. But the things that changes are the services around you, the people that you're dealing with, and also the variations in climate and commodity prices. Where perhaps a seaside town knows that they have the ups and downs of a good summer tourist season, but a slow winter season. The rural and regional communities are so affected by weather events, by they have that disaster that they're dealing with on a regular basis, whether it's floods, drought, fire, there's always something on the go, plagues of locusts, but they really need to be a community to look after each other. Quite often there's vast distances to the next town. They've got limited services. And so it's a different psyche and a different way of thinking to actually support each other to make sure that the community thrives. If there isn't enough people in the community, there's no local school, there's no doctor surgery. So it's really important that from a policy point of view, that we actually wrap everything around that community. It's not just looking at one part of it.
So if we were saying that you mentioned a wraparound services and the importance of looking after those communities differently, are you suggesting that they need more support or more help or more funds funneled into that community? Or is it just when disasters strike or when there's particular circumstances? Because I think a small business might be sort of sitting in the middle of Hornsby thinking, well, I'm doing it really tough as well. It's really difficult for me. What is it that makes them unique? Why is it, do you feel, that we need to give them that wraparound support?
It's a really interesting question and one that I know policymakers grapple with. And I think, all small businesses should be treated the same, but there are supports available in different areas based on local events. So, certainly where there is a natural disaster, the availability of support and special rebates or grants for that is really important because there is an impact on the business, not only, an immediate impact in, if they're flooded out or whatever, but also in the amount of traffic that they get through their door, and, what they're doing around the community. So, they might be unable to service anyone and out, they're not making money because they're busy helping everybody. And so in that aspect, I think, that welfare component and that support is really crucial. And that's particularly in rural and regional. There are other things, we need food on the table. So we need those communities to really be able to survive. And so, there are some things that are different there that need to be supported that aren't there in Hornsby. I was talking to a farmer group of small business owners, sort of that are dealing with really dry conditions up in our Central Highlands. They have to drive, a half an hour or more, to get childcare to get to anywhere. So that has an impact on their business. So they can only do school hours. And I know that's the same as Hornsby, but the choice of services, they've got one childcare within an hour's radius, and that's it. If they can't get their children into that, they have to look at something else and they can't run their business. So that's where it's quite different because the services are limited and so the choices aren't there. Connectivity with digital is a big issue in many of those remote areas particularly. So that's something that needs to be considered. Labour, the IR laws that are coming through, that flexibility, perhaps if it's someone that has to work in the childcare frame of timing, sheep getting out on the road or farmers wanting, a late night accounting appointment or something. They're different hours and different. It's a different way of living for many of those small businesses that are servicing that farming community as well.
You raised a good point there about it, the fact that without our farming communities, we in the cities are not going to be able to survive and thrive. You know, as small businesses, we're the ones who take the stock and take the resources from the land and need to be able to run our businesses. And it's not all being imported from overseas. We need to make sure that we look after those communities as well. You mentioned connectivity and critical services, and I know that this is something that's being bandied around in Parliament at the moment, is what is an essential service. And I would 100% agree that energy and connectivity, data and telephone services are absolutely critical. And we think about the tragedy that happened last week to that farming family who lost a farmer because they didn't have the ability to be with him at the time because there was no connectivity for the phone. There was no phone service. It's an absolute stark tragedy. How worried are you about those circumstances, both in an emergency situation, but actually for everyday life for small businesses in those communities?
It is an impact on everyday life because so much of the support that's offered, particularly, you know, government departments, is based on websites. It's based on things that you need connectivity. You need good connectivity to enter forms. If you're wanting to do something and transact business, you rely on that connectivity. If you haven't got a bandwidth that allows you to, you know, do your smarty grants to put a form in, to get something that you need, whether it's paying your super or your BAS statement or whatever, how do you actually do business? So that connectivity is crucial, not just in a life-saving, as the case was last week, but just in everyday going. I suppose the other thing is that if disaster strikes, that connectivity is critical. How do they actually all support each other to make sure everyone is okay? Mm. If there's not that connectivity for telephone lines, I know that, bushfires went through a local community and, the only place you could really get a good telephone reception was the pub. It's great if you're in the pub, but if you're out and about, that's, not so easy. So at that stage, luckily our state government were able to, organise with Telstra to get a tower put in there, and they've actually resolved that. It's interesting because, a lot of the telcos say, well, we've got 98% coverage or something like that. But that's based on the numbers of traffic. It's not on the actual amount of land. So there's still a lot of gaps in that area.
Yeah, it's so critical when you think about that immediacy after disasters. I mean, how many small businesses, their doors are electric? I mean, they simply can't open their doors without power. They certainly can't take payments and they can't transact. And then they absolutely might not have refrigeration and all those critical things. Mm. And they're the ones, as I mentioned before in the opening, they're the ones who are supporting their local communities. Now, you mentioned some action that Tasmanian government took working with Telstra to make sure that a phone tower went in where there wasn't enough coverage. Mm. Great, that's wonderful. Who is the government speaking to in regional, remote and rural communities when they're listening to what the community needs? Tell me, as a small business leader, how does that work?
So obviously Tasmania, we're a little island, so we have, as many people say, we're all related to each other. Not quite, but it is really good. there is a connectivity of people that we have, which is really great, that we can pick up the phone and talk to people at council, local government, at state government level, that provides that support. We have roundtables regularly, so business leaders will actually come together and if there's an issue, for example, King Island, there's, an issue there with freight at the moment. So, the required people sat on a roundtable and were able to look at the situation and try and at least get some band-aids available, and then look at, what is what's the long-term freight issue. So there's an ability to actually pull those round tables together on that policy issue as needed, which is really good. And that might be the local chamber, the supplier of whatever the issue is, government departments, the local government areas as well. So, there's a lot of opportunity for us to be able to speak on what are the policy issues that matter. And it's really important, I think, in those rural and regional communities to have those connections with your local member to actually be able to feed that up. They might be a backbencher, they might not have a ministerial position, but they're really important to have that connection. And they can't make a difference unless people actually talk to them, and that's something that we say on a regular basis with the small businesses that we're dealing with. If there's something that's worrying you and there's something that's a blockage and a barrier, talk to your local member, go and let them know, because that's the only way that you can actually make a difference.
Yeah, Facebook whinging doesn't count, people. They're not listening.
No.
They're not on their Facebook all the time listening to you whinge. So you've got to pick up the phone and use and activate those engagements that you've got.
And I think the other thing is, to make sure you come with a solution. And that's something that, in all my years of looking at policy and dealing with, the parliament, and all that encompasses, if you come with a solution and an idea, it might not be the one that ends up, on the plate, but you're actually coming with a positive message of, this is the problem, this is what I think we can do to solve it. Can you help us get there? And I think they're really important and something that local communities can do really well, and actually support each other, the small businesses, the chambers, the council, everyone coming together and coming up with those ideas as one voice is really important, and something that small communities usually do really well.
It's a great point that you make there about that strength in communities, because they're already interconnected and they rely on one another so well that they can work together to find a solution. And that's the perfect kind of advocacy, really. Let's take a break here on Small Biz Matters. When we return, we're going to speak to Elizabeth Skirving some more about what she thinks are the main issues for regional, rural and remote businesses right now, and what are some of those solutions that are being offered to government to fix any issues. We'll be back after this.
This episode of Small Biz Matters is proudly sponsored by the Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman's Office. ASBIFIO assists, advocates and provides information to Australia's 2.5 million small and family businesses when and where they need it. ASBIFIO delivers practical and actionable advice and research to governments on how to improve policies and legislation. Since its inception, ASBIFIO has responded to over 40,000 requests for assistance from Australian small and family businesses and provides access to dispute resolution services, including assistance with disputes that fall under the franchising, dairy, horticulture and oil codes. ASBIFIO also connects small and family business with mental health support should the need arise. As an independent advocate for small business owners, ASBIFIO is committed to ensuring that Australia is the best place to start, grow or transform a business now and well into the future. See how ASBIFIO can support you at asbfeo.gov.au.
And welcome back to Triple H 100.1 FM. You're listening to Small Biz Matters, People, Policy, Purpose. And today's program is all about examining the needs of regional, rural and small and remote small businesses and the communities that they support. We have an expert with us today. I'm going to call her a thought leader because that is absolutely what she is. Elizabeth Skirving from Regional Business Tasmania. Now, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about how small businesses and their leaders and their representatives can get involved, and how there's quite a positivity there around regional communities and how they knit together to really offer government solutions. What are some of the major problems plaguing regional, rural and remote businesses right now, and things that you're working on as a leading advocate?
I think probably on everybody's lips is always, if you're employing staff, that IR and what impacts policy decisions make. Some of the changes that we've had with casuals, and how we interact. Obviously, they're really something that people don't necessarily see in their day-to-day, but they know that that's coming. So how do we actually provide that support to them to be able to, let it make it easier for them to employ people? We have a labour shortage at the moment, so it's tough to get people, and then to make sure that we support those people when they are working for us. So, how do we actually make that system work and easier? One of the things that we hear regularly is that red tape, and I think that policy that a lot of government look at is the red tape reduction, and how to make transacting easy. It's that getting through all of the different facets, whether it's a hospitality business or to look at all of the forms that they have to fill in, just to be able to provide some food or something similar. Those communities really need to be able to get on with business rather than just all of the paper shuffling. And I think that's really important. Some of the other things that, from a rural and regional point of view, that we have to be aware of is freight and that whole logistics. There's long distances involved. That is a reliance on some of the policy decisions that might come through with transport and how that works. So consider that and making sure that there is a way to get the stocked for the supermarket so that that can be well stocked. So I think that's one area that the logistics is something that will always be a factor in rural and regional and remote just because of where they are.
One of the things that's happened recently is the announcement by Jim Chalmers for the removal of all of those tariffs. Is that going to be helpful? Is that seen as a positive by regional businesses across Australia? Is that going to help?
I think it will. It certainly, it's one less cost that people will see. So it will open things up a little bit more. And I think anything like that, that removing some of those tariffs and opening up the market is really great. That's a good win.
Because certainly I know that in the past we've had these regulation reviews. There's supposed to be an analysis of the impact on business with every regulatory change, but doesn't really come to fruition or doesn't really do a proper analysis. Is that, I mean, there's a lot of talk about reducing red tape and there's a lot of complaints around small businesses saying, I'm just drowning in forms that I need to fill in and I can't get on with doing my business. Where is a good step in the right direction for regional communities? Is it that freight area that you mentioned, trying to get the free flowing of freight a bit better? Where would you suggest to the government that they can make some red tape reductions?
I think one of the first things is for anyone that is putting up a policy or a legislative requirement is that there is a plain English and simple steps to actually do things. To remember that small business owners are not sitting at their computer every day, that they're actually out doing a job. So a lot of the time, they might be transacting on an iPad or a phone. They haven't got that access to fill in a lot of forms. And also, they're not dealing with those forms and that language every day. It doesn't mean that they're, not clever and not intelligent. It's just that it's a different language. So how do we actually translate things to a language that small business owners can easily interpret when they're actually dealing with some of that? Make it easy for them. Think, put yourself in someone else's shoes of a small business owner. For some of those that are actually enacting the legislation, to be able to get out and actually spend some time with a small business owner and actually understand the pressures that are there. I think, there's sometimes a view like you own a clothing shop, so you're wealthy and you've got everything behind you. Those small business owners are working long hours. They're, they're probably not taking home a wage as much as some of their staff in a lot of cases. So, particularly if times are tough, which they are at the moment, and they're in an industry that's not essential. So, with cost of living pressures and the fact that, small businesses, are relying on those customers, particularly in regional areas where they've got a limited customer base, they haven't got lots of visitors coming through. How do they actually get that cash flow coming through? For any policy to actually understand that those pressures are there, and it's not something that is easily understood unless you're actually living in those shoes.
I've been thinking a lot about the fact that, in so many different government departments, the bureaucrats are. They're trying their best. That you do have champions within a department, but sometimes they're not the decision makers and they're not out there hitting the streets, as you said. We need to see more real people through those departments who have had lived experiences. I can probably count on two hands the number of people who I've met in all of those government departments that you and I have dealt with who have actually run a small business. And I'm sorry, guys, but consulting doesn't count. You don't have as many paperwork pressures or red tape issues if you're in consulting or as if you're a lawyer. So it's really important that we get that diversity for those policy makers who are examining what the problems may be and what the outcomes might be. And I hear you when you say that so many of those small business owners are not taking a wage. They're not actually paying themselves a wage. They're looking after their staff super, their staff's entitlements. They're doing all of their red tape production. They're not getting paid to fill out all those forms and make sure that they're reporting a lot. I just wanted to unpack a little bit more in the last few minutes that we have about those industrial relations changes and the changes to contractors versus employees. Now, you mentioned that that's going to be a big impact on farming communities in particular. What would you offer as a solution to government officials who are trying to get that messaging across now that it's passed Parliament, it's going to happen? How do we get small businesses to understand what is needed of them, what's required?
I think there needs to be some real education and training to actually unpack that, and to be able to get people in those local communities to be there, perhaps working with their local chambers or local small business groups, to make sure that there is an understanding of what is required, but also some cheat sheets. So if you're drawing up a new contract, is there something on Fair Work Australia that will actually provide that support that's easy for them to utilise, and then that opportunity to be able to understand that. So I think those fact sheets and everything, but perhaps in a hard copy form for those that have got limited connectivity, so they don't have to go and find it and they don't have to print it out to look at it. And I know the younger ones don't need to print it out, but the older ones, like you and I, we probably want a hard copy still. So
Still a
to
fan of
have
hard
those,
copies, I'm with you.
that the old-fashioned, keep Australia Post going and send that out, with your bat statement or whatever, would be really helpful, I think, because it just gives that another layer. And yes, it's another piece of paper, but just to give that understanding and say, hey, there's some laws that have changed. This may affect you. Seek advice, but here's a pack with some of the basics.
Is there any government department that does it well for regional, rural, and remote and communicates well and works effectively with stakeholders and gets the messaging across and uses trusted pathways of education? Anyone? ATO? I mean, I know.
ATO, yeah, they've tried really hard. So I think, big tick and a couple of stars for them, for trying really hard. I think there's always room for improvement. But it's certainly the one thing that I've seen over the last probably 10 years is that there has been a change in recognising small business and actually understanding that there is a need to listen to small business and make sure that they are looked after. So I think hats off to everybody for that. That there's not other things that can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great way to finish the program today. Thank you so much for talking to us, Elizabeth. It's such an important facet of small business thinking, and the whole of economy rides on the back of small businesses in regional, rural and remote communities. So thank you for being such a powerful leader for them and such an important pinnacle of policy change. Now, where can people find out a little bit more about Rural Business Tasmania and the work that you guys do?
So our website is www.ruralbusinesstasmania.org.au, and all the details are there. We are a registered charity, and most of the farming and small business community, perhaps particularly in Tasmania, if they're going through a drought or a hard time, wouldn't go to the usual salvos or anything like that to get support, but we are able to provide both household and animal welfare. So that's a little bit different from a rural and regional point of view, but that's obviously something that's important. But there are a range of training programs and other supports available to anyone that might need it during that time.
And also a shout out to the guys at Rural Financial Counselling Services as well, who offer quite a lot of support, both emotionally and also financially, for those who need help. If you need help, please reach out. If you need to find out more, highly recommend that you check out your local Chamber of Commerce or your local state chamber, or people that can offer support with all these changes that are coming through. Thank you once again for joining me here on Triple H, Elizabeth. And if anybody wants to hear more about today's program, you can catch up via wherever you get your podcasts, really, anywhere, iTunes, Spotify. So who's going to be on the show next week with Small Biz Matters? Actually, next week we're going to take a week off. We're going to head to Canberra and do some policy work of our own, supporting small businesses in the energy and refugee empowerment space. So I'm going to have a week off next week, and I'll be able to report back on how that all goes the following week. But the following week, the 12th of March, I'm very excited to be welcoming Sandy Chong, who is the CEO of the Australian Hairdressing Council, another leader in her field when it comes to the work of policy and advocacy in the hairdressing space. There are over 20,000 small businesses as hairdressers here in the country. Many of them are sole traders, many of them are non-employing, a lot of them are micro businesses. And who supports them and has done for the last 20 years is Sandy Chong. We're going to talk to her about her work in advocacy and for the number of years that she supported that community and how she does it, what important aspects of policy matter to her businesses and what she's doing in that space, and also how she finds the energy to be able to support those businesses and support that industry for so many years whilst running her own small business for decades. So join me on March the 12th to welcome Sandy Chong from the Hairdressing Council. We'll also be doing that at a slightly different time, a little bit later in the day, because she'll be coming all the way from Newcastle to join us. But I'm excited about that program. And remember, if you've missed any of today's program, you can catch up via podcast and via our website, which is radio.smallbizmatters.com.au. And if you've got a suggestion about a policy area that really matters to you that you'd like us to highlight, then get in touch and we'll have a look at getting an expert on the show. Thank you once again for joining me, and we will see you all next week.